Hello, this is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast, where we are talking with volleyball assistant coach Chelsea Scott. Chelsea is in her first year as a full-time assistant at Wichita State. She came here as a volunteer. She talks to us about what that life is like and why so many people take the route of volunteer assistant to get into the coaching ranks. Chelsea is from California, so we talked to her a little bit about being a fan of the 49ers and a fan of the Giants. And then we get into fall volleyball. She'll tell us how the libero, how setter positions are shaking out. Some of her other top impressions from fall scrimmages. Thank you for listening. We're with Chelsea Scott, assistant coach for Wichita State's volleyball program. Chelsea is in her first season as a full-time assistant coach after serving two seasons as a volunteer assistant at Wichita State. Chelsea comes from California. She's got some Sonoma State roots in common with head coach Chris Lamb. She played libero from 2006 to 2009 at Concordia University, Irvine, California, an NCAA Division II school. She ranks third on the Eagles career list for digs with 1,548. Played a lot of matches, 140 matches. That's a lot of digs. Do liberos remember any individually, or is it just kind of a big blur of volleyballs bouncing off your arms and going where you wanted to go?
I remember one specific dig in one of our NCAA tournament matches. We faced a really great Brazilian right side player from one of our rival schools, and we ended up meeting up with them in the tournament, and she had a lot of open net on the right, which is one of the more difficult digs for liberos because you're digging straight ahead down the line. And I remember just thinking, whoa, this is a lot of net, and here she comes, and I got her on one, and it was pretty great.
So some of them do stand.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Where are you on the, I would think, to work in that office, you'd have to have strong opinions on the 49ers or the Giants to work with Chris Lamb. Where do you fall in that whole spectrum?
Definitely a Niners fan, definitely a Giants fan. I kind of tend to root for players rather than teams. Certain individuals, just their work ethic, their personality, that kind of stuff is really what gets me. Lambo definitely likes his teams.
Favorite Giant of all time?
Ooh, of all time. You know, I kind of probably have to give it to, that was kind of a hard one. I love Buster Posey, but I don't know. All time is hard.
I can't believe Madison Bumgarner just doesn't rise to the top.
You know, he's probably up there, maybe top two. I just think what he did in the World Series was unbelievable. We'll never see anything like it again.
Special guy, definitely.
Yes, he was.
You know, I saw Buster Posey play in college.
Really?
Wichita State played down at Florida State in Super Regional in 2008.
Oh, that was cool.
That was cool. Favorite 49er?
Probably Steve Young.
Steve Young?
Yeah. Right.
Can't go wrong there.
Yeah.
Okay, how did you get here to Wichita State? Tell us a little bit about your background and your story in getting here.
Yeah. I happened to move home from college, was not expecting to get into the coaching world, kind of thought I had put volleyball behind me, then ended up getting talked into coaching at my high school I played for, which Chris was rival high schools with the high school Chris Lamb coached for at El Molino. With one of my best friends, and pretty much fell in love with being there every day, working with the girls, and then got asked by the head coach at Sonoma State if I wanted to help with his team. Kind of saw something in me that he thought would be good at this, and started volunteering with them the very following semester. Then ended up getting a little bit of money to help him out there, started coaching club volleyball with him as well. Was really busy all the time. Coached probably five teams a year at least while I was out there. But pretty much right after that first year with him, he flew me here to Wichita State to coach camp and meet Chris Lamb because of their relationship and wanted me, I think, to kind of network and see what life could be like as a college coach. And I remember showing up and thinking, I really want to work there one day in some capacity. And ended up taking a couple years to really decide I was all in on this and took a job at George Mason University. Was there for one semester and then got a call from Lambeau and was here January 3rd, walking through the door as the volunteer.
So before coaching intervened, what was the plan?
I hadn't figured it out yet. My parents owned a health club in our hometown, and working out and fitness has kind of always been important to me, super impactful in my life, something I've always looked forward to. So I was thinking maybe of kind of taking over for them at some point, you know, doing some personal training, that kind of stuff. But I'm really glad coaching.
How did you decide between high school and college coaching? Was that something you had to debate a little bit?
No, pretty much. I loved my high school kids. They were great, and it's a really fun age group to be around, which is why I'm glad we get to still be involved in club. But, you know, once I got involved at the college level, it was really... there's just so much more to it, and that was what intrigued me and wanted to continue to learn and get better at.
I think fans hear us talk about volunteer assistants a lot, and it probably doesn't get explained. What's it like being a volunteer assistant? Why is that a path that so many people take to kind of get their foot in the door?
Yeah, a lot of the times it's, you know, it's kind of the step you have to take in order to get yourself known. Some people are really fortunate to have played for a program where they eventually end up getting to step into a role directly with that program, or have worked with some, you know, popular names in the coaching world. But when you haven't had that, or you kind of decide late that this is something you might be interested in and you have the resources to be the volunteer, it's a great way to go about it. It's a lot of hours. I mean, you know, you're in the gym just as much as all the other coaches on staff. You just aren't making money for it. So you have to be kind of creative. And I think for Lambeau, he saw how hard I was willing to work and how many hours I was willing to put in the gym to make this work. And that was, you know, a big reason why I was able to get myself here with him.
Yeah, we have a lot of coaches at Wichita State that I would say came up, I guess I'll use the phrase the hard way, not that other people don't come up working hard, but they weren't, you know, the starting point guard at Duke.
Right.
That kind of way. They came up maybe through junior college, maybe through club volleyball, maybe through Division II basketball schools, whatever. How do you think that shapes you as a coach as opposed to rolling in after you were the setter at Nebraska for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes me a little bit more relatable for our girls, just knowing that I've kind of how to put in the time, and I've done a lot of growing myself and learning, and I think they can see that even to this day I'm still learning, and it's definitely made me humble, but also has impacted the way I view players. Because I've not had the quote-unquote easy road, hard work is something that, you know, I really hold on to as a big quality. And judge pretty hard on. So the kids who are willing to work for stuff are usually my favorites to be around.
Duties as a volunteer, and then how did that change when you became a full-time assistant?
Being in the office was pretty easy as a volunteer. I didn't really have, you know, a whole lot of roles or responsibilities up in there. I was mainly just working with Lambeau on numbers and stats and that kind of stuff, but the guys handled all of our scheduling, all of our behind the scenes kind of stuff that goes into this, and we're lucky that we have a DOps with Shannon who does most of that for us. But now being in a, you know, paid position, I have a lot more of the scheduling. I have to handle a lot of the rules that I got to make sure I stay on top of as far as recruiting and our hours and what we're limited to doing with our team, and just kind of making sure that the guys stay on top of what they need to do as well. But yeah, a lot more interaction with recruits, which is fun, but a little bit more busy work.
All right, take us back to August, and a lot changed. It's changed since then, but when you go back to August, Shocker start reporting, what were the biggest goals back then?
I think we were hoping to see what our freshmen could do. You know, we knew we had a good class coming in, and I think we were all eager and anxious to see some of them play because it had been a while with COVID and all that. And I think our goal was to see how many of them can we get ready quickly. And we were still thinking we were having a season in some capacity. So that was a big goal for us. I think another big goal for us was, can we change the team chemistry that has kind of been an issue the past couple of years and see if we can make these guys help us be the change.
How much of the spring did you get in last?
We got into March, so we usually start in, I would say, maybe a month and a half.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So then the season gets delayed, pushed back. Mm-hmm. How do you pivot? What's kind of that first initial day or two and how you want to keep progressing, but there's been a big change.
We just got, you know, we felt like it was a great opportunity for us to keep learning about what we needed to get better at as a team and as individuals. So you kind of turn the gears from what our lineup's going to look like, how we're going to defend, how we're going to play certain people, and a little bit more about what can we learn about us as a team, and kind of shift the gears to be a little bit more educational and individual goal rather than big team goal and ready to compete against somebody else across the net. So it was great for us. I really enjoyed it. I hope the girls are enjoying it. We've definitely gotten to take it a little bit slower going into some of our bigger concepts than we usually get, which has been great for the freshmen to get a little bit better of an understanding of kind of, you know, some of the things that we're saying at them.
Yeah, I think we talked about that one day out in the arena. So you think it's been helpful for them? You were able to kind of stair-step them up into some of the terminology and things like that?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people when they first get here, it's very overwhelming. There's just a ton of information being thrown at you, and we don't have the time typically in a season to sit down and kind of explain some of this stuff and baby step into it, right? It's just like, we got to hit the ground running because we're playing in 2 weeks. And with us not having to play this semester, it's been a lot easier to take that time when we need it and kind of slow stuff down and explain exactly what's happening and what we're hoping for in whatever it is that we're doing. And I think that's been really helpful for our newbies.
Okay, so we go through the fall. You had the 3 public scrimmages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people got a little bit of a look at the Shockers. Top impression, what pops to your mind first when you think about what you saw?
I already think we play better defense than we have in the past. I love our team chemistry. I think all of our girls are here to compete. You know, obviously Sophia Rowling is somebody that I think people notice, and she's going to be a pretty big impact player for us. So I'm very excited for Sophia.
What spot is there more clarity on now than maybe back in August that jumps to mind? The position group?
Probably our setters and our littles. You know, I think the pins are going to continue to battle it out a little bit here for a while. We have a couple who have, you know, maybe totally solidified a spot. But a numbers play a big part in our decision making, and we need to find somebody with consistency for more than a couple days at a time. So, but littles and setters, I think, have kind of, we've locked it in a little bit.
Yeah, let's go through those 2 spots. The libero position, give us a thumbnail look at how that's unfolding.
You know, when we first got Lily here, we knew we had a pretty great athlete in her. She didn't have the skill or the playing experience that some liberos, or a lot of liberos, walk in the door with. She was a multiple sport athlete at her high school, hadn't played a ton of high-level club volleyball, but she's a stud. And I knew her learning curve was going to be pretty high, and I was excited about her from the moment she got here. And I think she's really taken what she was able to get in last spring and then us being able to kind of slow things down a little bit in the fall and used it to her advantage. And she is leaps and bounds better than she was last year, and she's only getting better. So big fan of Lily.
And that is Lily.
Likwe.
Yeah. And she is a sophomore from
yes.
Janesville, Iowa. We've got a few Iowans on this.
We do. Shannon loves the Iowans.
Yeah. All right. What else do we need to know about the Littles?
You know, Bryn Stansberry, our transfer from Nebraska, she immediately impacted us just because of her personality, her communication, her effort on the floor. She made others kind of rise to the occasion a little bit. She brings a lot of experience with her, and just a stable person to play next to, which is very helpful to be around. You know, Cena's not out of the question. If she's not in there as a pin, Cena could very well, you could end up seeing her in a libero jersey. We all know, you know, what Cena's capable of from watching her last year, and we all know she's a little undersized, but she's got the personality of a libero, kind of that go-getter mentality, and obviously passes great serve receive and will give you her full effort on defense. So you could definitely see her in the mix, but
I think people would really be interested in that move because she was, or how does that move happen? Is there a brainstorming session, or does somebody just one day say, hey, why don't we try Cena at libero? How's that kind of?
Well, I think it was kind of something that we had all talked about from the time she first got here, just because she is, you know, a smaller pin. And with the ability she brings as a passer, it's hard not to look at that. And now that we've brought in a couple more pins, you know, we never, Cena, once she started playing in the fall, I've never seen a better Cena as an attacker. And I think she was feeling, you know, probably the pressure of some of these youngsters coming in and was ready to rise to the challenge. But then you're looking at some of the size of these other guys and you start looking at numbers and you're like, what really is the best move here? And so if we have attackers who eventually can put up numbers to keep them like ahead of Cena in the attacking role, it's definitely a possibility for you to see Cena in that libero role. I think it would be very hard to find yourself watching a Shocker match without Cena on the floor in some capacity. So if she's not there as an attacker, you'll probably see her as a libero.
So Wichita State has experience coming back at center with Michaela and Casey Litzau. Take us through that position.
Yeah, they're both getting better. Again, slowing down in the fall for them was fantastic. I think our offensive systems can be a little bit overwhelming, and so just being able to talk them through decision making and kind of some of their fundamentals has been helpful for them. I think they both have grown in the leadership role, which is huge for them, and I think they're still kind of both battling it out. I think we're debating on whether we're going to be in a five or whether we're going to be in a six, and I think it could be either one of them if we end up in a five. So we got two pretty good athletes in that position, and we're glad they had a year last year, and we're glad we got a chance to slow it down with them again before we play again.
You mentioned Sophia Rowling, right side, who has had a good fall. Tell us a little bit about her progress.
Well, Sophia came a semester early. So she graduated high school early and came a semester earlier. And when she first got here, I was a little worried about her. I just think this was a lot more than she had ever experienced. The level of competition was a lot higher than she had ever experienced. And I just remember thinking, this is going to be hard for her. And first couple weeks, she really struggled. I remember it being pretty difficult. And then she just flipped a switch. I had a conversation with her last week and asked, Soph, what was that change that happened in you? Because you are a completely different person. She is now the kid that is, she'll be so tired and just keeps asking for more. Like, give it to me again. I want to get better. I'm willing to do anything and everything I can to make myself the best player I can be. And so seeing that mental switch has really changed who she's become as a player. And, you know, she said she just wanted to be the best she could be for our team. And she wanted to be a strong, powerful influence, and knew she had to rise to the occasion. So it's been pretty cool to see her kind of grow up, mature a little bit, and how that's impacted her on the floor.
Bradley Kelly, an outside hitter, is another one that we've heard lots of good things about. Give us a little taste of what she's done this fall.
Our Bri. Bradley's getting her feet to ball. She's making high contact. She's starting to hit with more range. You know, she's getting better passing. I don't think she's quite there to be a six yet, but she is a very physical presence. She's gotten way better at blocking. Sean's doing a ton of stuff with our blockers in the gym every day. That's helped Briley tremendously. But yeah, her ability to get two balls at the highest point possible has been a game changer for her. And I think that's a big attribute to the amount of time she spends taking care of her body, weightlifting, all the extra stuff she does outside of volleyball.
Lauren McMahon, a freshman middle from Dallas. Tell us about her.
Well, she's probably the funniest person that you'll ever meet. She brings a lot of laughter, a lot of good times with her into the gym, which has been a breath of fresh air. I think everybody enjoys being around her. But, you know, she's quick. She's got a good work ethic. She's got a good hand. And she's a lot more physical than she appears to be. She gets up and she's early a lot in the middle, which is good. Yeah, she's going to be really good.
Funniest person in the gym. We're going to need some details on that. Does she do, like, Chris Lane impersonations? Does she sing songs?
Definitely. Sometimes she is a dancer. She's a singer. She cracks jokes, but she also, you know, makes fun of herself, which is funny. Yeah, she's just a character. It's her body language, her facial expressions. She's great.
Another freshman we wanted to talk about, Sophie Childs, a front row player, freshman from Tulsa. Tell us about Sophie.
Sophie has been just a lot of fun to be around also. She's pretty sarcastic, which I think is great for Lambo. He likes the sarcasm. He's pretty sarcastic himself. But just somebody I think that we were all really impressed by when she walked through the door. We knew we were getting a pretty great kid in her, but I think she surpassed all of what we were anticipating from her, and she's only getting better. So we're really excited for her future.
And the Shockers made it through the fall unscathed by COVID.
No COVID. COVID.
Great news. Tell us how do you go about setting that expectation?
You know, I think it was pretty difficult for the girls the first couple weeks, just coming back. You know, for the freshmen, it was the first time they're away from home. And of course, they want to go out, meet other people, hang out with other sports teams, whatever. And at the time, we were still, you know, anticipating a season. And so it was pressed upon us pretty hard that you guys don't get to do that stuff right now. With this pandemic and all that's going on, we can't risk it, because that means people are missing matches or our whole team's missing matches. And I think, you know, we had a couple little mishaps at the very beginning, but once we got through those first two, I think our kids just decided volleyball was more important. than that stuff. And I'm super, super proud of our team for being able to kind of manage that. I know it probably felt like a lot of pressure to behave in a certain way, and probably wasn't easy not being able to go be your typical college kid, but they handled it. And I can't imagine being in their shoes, so I'm just super grateful for them and their behavior through the whole thing and their attitudes towards it all, and they've just been really good sports about it. So
thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.